This episode of Inside EMS Podcast is sponsored by LogRx. Learn a better way to track your narcotics at LogRx.com.
Here we go, and it's time for another week of Going Inside EMS. I am your host, Chris Sabalero. Again, thank you for allowing us to join you on your EMS journey. And with me always, well, not always, because he does do a lot of other duties as assigned, but he is with me always in my heart, my good friend, Kelly Grayson. KG, how was your week?
Oh, man, it was lovely. Saw some interesting cases, and it's pretty cool. One thing about doing critical care transports is occasionally you get to see some really neat stuff and deal with some zebras that you don't see often in the field.
Yeah. So one of the things is keep your eye on those things, because I'd love to be able to talk about, you know, some of those calls. When we start to think about our everyday humdrum calls that we do, which I don't think there's any humdrum calls, right? Even on the benign of knee pain calls, we can, you know, polish our interviewing techniques. We can learn more about heart tones by listening to what a perfect heart should be, what good lungs sound like. So I think you can learn something on every single call. But as we now start getting into the more complex calls, there may be calls that you run that may need some discussion and things to that effect. But you wouldn't tell me what we were going to talk about today. So usually we do show prep, but there is no show prep today. So I am going to let you take me down this, and I'm really almost afraid, but remember, we're a family show, so let's keep it PG.
Well, I was surprised. I was reading your book the other day. Yes, I'm the guy who read it.
You're the one guy who bought the book.
No, it's good. You've written several of these books, yeah. But the Ultimate Coaching book, and that led me down the wiki wandering rabbit hole. And I looked at your YouTube video on the same thing, where you advocate that we move from a progressive discipline to a culture of coaching. Yes. And I'm still set my ways. Why do you think that progressive discipline is not the way to go, and that the culture of coaching? I actually happen to agree with you a little bit, but I'm playing devil's advocate for the people that have not seen your video and read your book and are unfamiliar with the concept. Why don't you tell us some more about a culture of coaching?
So I think that the progressive discipline system is very, very antiquated. And I think it goes in line with the whole, you know, the days of command and control and leading from a position of authority are over. One of the things that I think happened, and in my first book, Ultimate Leadership, 10 Rules for Success, those are the rules I had to develop to become a successful leader, because I was horrible in the beginning. I've been very open about that. But rule number 8 is experience comes from mistakes, and mistakes come from lack of experience, right?
Yeah.
So now when we start to think about those things, if we believe rule number 8, and we should, because what's the one thing that we ever did the first time we did great? That means we're going to make errors and we're going to make mistakes, and it's supposed to help us grow. But in the antiquated system of progressive discipline, I may now start to get a written warning because of that. I mean, is that really fair? And I got to tell you, Kelly, in my career, I've gotten enough progressive discipline, enough paper that I can wallpaper a small closet. But let's go. All right, let's be honest. Maybe it's a walk-in closet, but it's still the point, right? That yeah. Sometimes we made decisions and sometimes we wound up getting corrective action, where maybe it was a culture of coaching that would have been able to teach me to grow. And I don't know if I'm making sense yet, but
you are.
Coaching is very, very subjective. How many times in your career have you gotten or have you seen progressive discipline being given to one person, but not given to the same error the next person, because maybe they have a little bit more respect, or maybe they have a little bit more, the supervisors like them a little bit better. But yeah, I could take you down this road if you really want to go and try to convince you in the importance of coaching employees rather than disciplining them.
Yeah, well, you know, I have been subject to that very thing, that bias about people being treated differently. And I've gotten away with things in my career at my former employer with, I don't want to say gotten away with, because what I did was clinically correct. It was best for the patient, but I was not scrutinized as rigorously as, say, a 6-month paramedic who'd made the same decision would have made. You know, they looked at it like, this is Kelly. He documented it well. We understand why, but it still deviated from protocol, but we get it. Kelly's an experienced medic, and we know why he made that decision. Where if he was a brand spanking new medic who made that same decision, they would have looked at him a little closer. Probably wouldn't have disciplined him, because Acadian was a great company in that regard. But, you know, unfortunately, there are different sets of rules that apply to different people in the company. It's not uniform across the board.
And now let's pause for a word from our sponsor.
Designed and founded by EMS professionals, LogRx provides real-time accountability of all your narcotics from cradle to grave. Reach out today for a demo and download the app on the iTunes and Google Play stores. And coming soon, LogRx will also track your medical supplies, equipment, PPE, and even vehicle checks. For more information, visit LogRx.com. That's LogRx.com.
So here's what I want to ask you, and I was unclear in reading and watching the video. How does the culture of coaching really differ from just culture? Because this is what I'm used to. They seem very similar, but is there any fundamental difference in it? Because, you know, just culture is about improving and looking at a root cause and not necessarily applying discipline when the mistake was something that was unavoidable or was because of the fault of the procedures,
sure,
the policies of the company. So how does this differ from just culture?
You know, I think that just, you know, so I want to just define the words a little bit. So I say all the time that vision is where we're going, strategy is how we're going to get there, and the culture is the behavior of the organization in reaching the vision, right? Because as you've said countless times, you know, Peter Drucker's quote, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Doesn't make a difference what the vision is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make a difference what the direction is. If we have a poor organizational culture, which is the behavior of the workforce in reaching the vision, strategy makes no sense. There is nothing to do that, right? So just culture is really set up on the premise of doing the right thing, right? So we're going to come in the morning, you know, we're going to make sure our truck is ready. You know, we're going to make sure we have the equipment we need. We're going to go out. We're going to run the best calls that we can. We're going to make decisions on what's right. You know, last week we talked about the bias cascade. We're going to think that we're doing the right thing here. And then we make the decisions based on that. We're just going to do the right thing. It's the just culture. It's the right culture.
Yeah.
When we think about a culture of coaching rather than progressive discipline, if I screw something up, I am almost guaranteed that I am going to sit in front of my supervisor and get the next level in progressive discipline. Or if they think that the situation is so egregious, I may skip a couple levels of progressive discipline and go from a verbal warning to a final written warning, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a suspension, right? And again, this is all subjective. There's nothing written that says in this situation, I get this instead of this. It is really down to the people who are giving the discipline to say, I'm giving you this. You got no choice about it. It's in policy that I can do this and I'm going to do it. And I don't think that that is just culture, right? I think that that is subjective. And depending on how you feel about me as an employee is what's going to determine my level of progressive discipline. Now, if we have a coaching culture, I'm going to sit down with you and I'm going to say, Kelly, I think that this is a problem. And you know that we're supposed to do this. And you know that the policies say this. Are you familiar with this policy? Well, no, I guess I'm not as familiar with it as I should do. Well, then that's a learning thing. When we think about employee issues, there's four reasons why there's an employee issue. One, they weren't trained right. How many times have we heard, well, no one ever taught me that, right? Number two, they don't have the equipment to do their job. Number three, something in the environment caused this to happen. Or number four, it's just a behavioral issue. So they fit into those four categories, right? So if I sit down with you and I say, Kelly, we've got a problem. You know that on every single call, according to our protocols and according to our policies, you've got to bring in every single piece of equipment into the call. You may not like it, but that's what the direction of the organization is, and that's how we want to run this organization. Let's go ahead and talk about this and tell me why you don't do this, and let's see if we can come to some understanding about it. Then you're going to give me your argument, and you're going to say, you know what, Chris, this was a knee pain call. Somebody fell down the stairs. Do I really need to bring in my monitor and my first in bag and my O2 bag and my ALS bag? And you know, it just seems like it's a little bit of overkill. And then we have a discussion about, you know what, Kelly, maybe it is a little bit of overkill, but this is the way the policy is right now until we can change it. And I think that we need to document this and see if we can make a change. You have to follow the program. And the reason for this is based on trust. The reason for this is based on what the medical directors want us to do. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it's what we're being asked to do. So let me ask you this question. In this scenario here, how do we ensure that we follow these rules and regulations? And then you get to give me your own words to say, this is what I'm going to look to do, and this is how I'm going to fix it. And then one of the things about coaching is I can skip all the levels of progressive discipline, depending on how egregious this is, and say, you know, Kelly, this was so bad that I have to tell you that the next time this happens, we may have to end our professional relationship. Yeah. And then I could put that on the coaching forum to say, we can never have this challenge come up again. So I'm not your dad, right? I'm not your parent. Yeah. I'm not here to punish you, right? Because people will say that all the time. So now I got to be punished, because I'm not punishing you. You know, I'm trying to help you. Well, I don't help people by giving them a final written warning. I help people by using my leadership skill to influence them, to teach them, to guide them. But then the rest falls on you. It's not up to me to make that happen for you. If you take my words and if you go back on your own word, there could be repercussions. And that repercussion could be that we're going to end our professional relationship. So, dude, that was a long answer, but hopefully it gives you some foundation.
I get it. And it kind of follows the tenets of servant leadership that you've talked about in the past. You know, what is your job as a manager and a leader is to make the people under you, help the people under you be the best that they can be. And that's the whole focus on coaching. It's learning from your mistakes and improving rather than getting punished for them. So in that respect, it's familiar to exactly what I'm used to. You know, it's very similar to just culture, the way I've experienced it, but maybe with more of a focus on coaching up people rather than applying a disciplinary paradigm. I wish that we'd had that in other places. I once worked for an agency, a large EMS, with the operations manager were largely rancorous and unsatisfying, and they always ended with and they supposedly had a progressive discipline / just culture policy, but he was fond of saying, Kelly, this is not about you being a good paramedic. This is about you being a good employee. Totally oblivious to the fact that everything that they did made it impossible to be both things at this particular agency. You could be a good employee or you could be a good paramedic, but you could not be both working there. And it was the way they approached discipline and fixing what they perceived to be problems that was at the root of that. So yeah, I kind of get it. You know, a culture of coaching. Would that more EMS agencies actually follow that? Why do you think, though, before we close, why do you think that sort of outlook on leadership and discipline is not more widely accepted? Why do you think that so many agencies and so many EMS systems still cling to progressive discipline, this autocratic leadership and that sort of thing?
Man, that's a tough question. Maybe it goes to the fact, Kelly, of where are we getting trained on how to coach people? The only thing that we know in organizations is progressive discipline, right? I mean, how many times have you been on the listservs and somebody has said, hey, does somebody have a policy on discipline? Hey, does somebody have a policy on, when have you ever seen, does anybody have a policy on coaching? You know, we just assume that this is the best for, you know, employee behavior and employee growth and development. And here's another thing that happens too. When we give progressive discipline, we now tag those people as cancers or problem children, or, you know, these are the people that really need your leadership the most right now. These are the people that are feeling lost in the organization, that need to be remotivated, that need to be re-inspired. This isn't about you and me wanting to fire you. This is about me wanting to make you the very best that you can be. Now, I used to say this. Now, I just gave you a written warning. I am going to take this paper and I am going to put it in the bottom drawer of my desk and I'm going to forget about it unless you make me open that drawer and look in that file, right? Because it's important that when we do this with our workforce, that they know that I'm not going to hang on to this and hold this over their head until the next instance happens. And I think that to your question, why does this happen? Why do we allow this to precipitate in our career field? When have we learned or been taught anything different? So I think that's my answer.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess it stands to reason that would be the paradigm, because we're picking from a pool of type A personalities, forceful people that are very direct and see something, act upon it sort of thing. And when we, you know, as a profession, we haven't really valued nuance a whole lot in EMS. So I guess it's supposed, it really doesn't play to the innate skill set of the typical people you find in EMS, but it's something that certainly needs to be more commonplace. We need some deeper thinkers and some coaches rather than some of the managers that we have now. But hey, that's what I think about it. We'd love to hear what you think about it. What kind of progressive discipline policy do you have at your agency, or do you have a culture of coaching? How do your leaders manage problems or perceive deficiencies among your personnel? We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Thanks for tuning in to Inside EMS. Going to catch you guys next week.